You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Did you own the MC Hammer parachute pants when you were a young man?
If you don't believe me, I don't even care. I don't need a picture for it. I like the memory.
Giles Barnes has parachute pants, though. I think they're just catching on in Europe to Euro thing.
So that's like reverse buyer's remorse.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
this is 11th dimension chess right here.
Yeah,
maybe.
I cheated a little bit, yep.
That's good radio right there, guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me on a very special day, Kalen Carr.
What's up, man?
Rosh Hashanah, taking away David Goss from us. I will say, his is not a vacation. It is a religious holiday. He must observe. And then Doyle is just hanging out. I don't even think he's doing anything. We discussed it on the last show. He's out.
I would just like to say happy Jewish New Year to everybody. I am I don't want to like overstep my bounds, but I feel like at times I have been accepted as an honorary member of the tribe here and there. Shabbat Shalom. I've gone to quite a few dinners on Friday nights.
Okay.
And it's always been great. Yeah. I've always had a great time.
All right. Well, hopefully that's going well for Dave. Ben the Research Bear can't be here for us to heckle him over, oh, I don't know what, maybe the Seattle Sounders doing
Wait,
their thing again.
So it's just the two of us today.
It is just us. There's nobody going to walk through that door. Nobody will knock on the broom closet door and save you. You're going to have to come with some really good analysis.
Wow.
It's a big show, too, because we've basically got 2 weeks left of the MLS regular season. We're heading into the international break right now, but, man, the playoff races, they've already heated up. They are hot. They are untouchable. You need gloves for these things, some oven mitts to come at them. And there's some big news on the international front as well, of course, as we head into this break. The U.S. roster is out for Cuba. They may make some changes before New Zealand next week, but Cuba comes on Friday. That's the first friendly on the island since 1947, which was the first meeting between these two teams. So it's pretty incredible stuff. Oh, and by the way, you may have noticed big news out of England, or shall I say Wales. Bob Bradley, he is now the head coach of Swansea City. He is the first ever American to coach a top four league team in Europe.
That's awesome.
It's incredible stuff. He got the job, and they're in a little bit of a tough spot right now, the Swans, but if anybody can pull them out, it's Bob Bradley. The fans there, not that happy. We'll talk about the reason why in the second segment, but let's jump into MLS, and we're going to split this thing up because at this point of the year, it really only matters conference by conference. You're trying to get in the playoffs. You're trying to get seeding. You're trying to make sure that you're the one still playing at the end of October into November and not hanging out and trick-or-treating with your kids and doing everything else. I hope the guys get to trick-or-treat with their kids even if they make the playoffs.
Are you anti-trick-or-treating with kids?
No, I love trick-or-treating.
Weeby, come on, man.
I love it. I haven't done it in Brooklyn, but, you know. I might, you know, if I was in Kansas.
I bet you they have, like, really trendy treats over there.
Probably. Maybe that's my new fate. It's not really that I'm able to trick-or-treat anymore. I'm more giving out the treats, I guess. Lots of treats for Seattle fans right now. I mean, this is pretty incredible. 9 points in 8 days, 4 straight wins. They do it again in the nightcap on Sunday night. We talked about it, a big Cascadia Cup game. Seattle in Vancouver. A 2-1 win at BC Place for the Sounders. Vancouver take a lead through Pedro Morales, but then Ozzie and then Brad Evans, old goal red card Evans, come on and get the job done for the Sounders. Brian Schmetzer, what do you think his record is in 11 games since he got there?
7-1-3 because you gave me the notes.
I forgot. Normally I have you going blind.
But I was actually texting a couple guys that used to play for him back in the Sounders days before they went to MLS.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sang his praises and said he was kind of a guy that maybe was only really got the credit he deserved locally in that market. But after what they've done turning around this season, I think nationally you gotta give him props and he's really turned this whole – it's incredible to think that they were dead, done, and dusted. Ben, the research bear, I believe, put them in the
0%.
Casket. Yeah, 0%. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why he's not in the office.
Yeah, then maybe that's why all this Rosh Hashanah stuff, that's an excuse maybe. Right. Yeah, well, look, I think you're right. I think Brian Schmetzer definitely flew under the radar, and he's been there forever. But Siggy Schmidt was such an overarching personality. He was somebody that everybody knew, and all the attention always went to Siggy. And they had so many stars as it was that – you're right. He flew under the radar. And I think file me under the group of people that when he got hired was saying, this is probably not the guy that will end up getting the job. And he's got a real argument to get it at this point. Now, they need to make the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But they're looking pretty good. 44 points from 31 games. They got a game in hand on Sporting Kansas City and the Portland Timbers. And they got a one-point lead on Sporting and a three-point lead on Portland, which has to have hearts aflutter in the Rose City. I think he's got a really good shot at this. We'll see how it goes the rest of the season. We'll see what Garth Lagerwey and the ownership group's ideas for this team going forward are. But you cannot fault Brian Schmetzer for what he's done so far. Three come-behind wins under him. Yeah. I don't think that had happened for them since 2014. What can a coach do to inspire that? Because I constantly hear, and we've heard this today with Bob Bradley, that you know managers aren't as important as we think they are. But what when you look at this team, what do you think he did? What do you think the changes he can actually make in a squad like this are? Is it just a breath of fresh air? Is it?
I think there's it's never just one thing, right? So getting a guy named Nicholas Ladero,
that's a pretty big thing.
Doesn't hurt, but also Clint has been gone, so he's been out. They're still having these results. I think he just seems like a very measured guy. He sort of looks more like a guy who works for like Microsoft.
Yeah,
than,
no, you're right.
A manager.
He kind of looks like you're maybe. I don't have a father-in-law, but maybe what I would expect a father-in-law to look like.
that's a subtle hint there, ladies. but yeah, I think you know he's just a steady hand. I think, and that's what they needed. And also give credit to some of the leaders, like a guy like Brad Evans, who stood up in the media earlier in the year and was like, "Hey, this is not good enough. This mm-hmm. is not what the expectations are," and. I think him, even a guy maybe like Kirk Gomez.
Ozzie Alonso, I think, has had a resurgent season for them. Remember, he was on the trading block before
right.
this year.
But even just to keep the group together, because you go through tough times, and you know there's a lot of pressure in that market. So to be able to keep that locker room intact, I think, has been really probably a huge part to why they're having the results.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Brad Evans, as I said, he came on as a sub. He nailed the PK.
He was a striker, by the way.
Yep.
UC Irvine was a striker. We played together club ball during the summer leagues. So he knows his way around the goal. I've seen him. He can finish. So
he did. We've seen it with the U.S. as well as well with the Sounders. Right. He gets the PK in this one, and then he gets the straight red card. A little bit of a he didn't connect with what they were saying on the broadcast was a headbutt. It was more just like a get out of my personal space. And David Edgar was in his personal space. Didn't go down, David Edgar didn't, but he still gets the red card here. And Evans basically saying, I don't think that's a red. They should review it. We'll see what happens with that one. On Vancouver's side, they are out of the playoffs. Done. Done and dusted. Along with Orlando City and the Chicago Fire, they have no chance of going to the postseason. That is a really disappointing result for a team that at the beginning of this season, I know I was high on them. Matt Doyle was high on them. A lot of people were high on them. It didn't come around for him this year. Look, we'll talk more in the offseason about what they need to do. Alfonso Davies is the truth, though. This kid, he's 15 years old. I mean, I was so happy to see his name on the team sheet when this game started. He's dangerous.
He's a
handful.
He was their most dangerous player
yeah.
throughout the game. I've been to a couple of their games this year, once in Vancouver and once in L.A., and their attack was just lifeless. They really had not a lot of movement.
Kakuta Mane being out for a long time has hurt them, certainly.
Yeah, for sure. But this kid, the thing that stood out to me the most about him is you see a lot of young guys, they come to life when they get the ball. You know, and he's got the ability to run at guys one-on-one. He's not afraid. Tall, lanky, speed, left foot, kind of jumps out at you. But there was one play where he starts out wide and really just sort of anticipates the run in and cuts it across the guy, gets a shot on goal. But it was a run that he saw clearly ahead of time, initiated yep. the pass. And that was something rare you see. You don't see that a lot for a 15-year-old to be in a professional game, initiating the ball with his run. He's a special one. I know he's being linked and looked at by some pretty big clubs.
Yeah, I mean, his movement, I was going to go there if you didn't. His movement is pretty incredible for a player that age. Manchester United reportedly has watched the last couple of his games, according to the province, I believe, up there in British Columbia. That's decent. You know, when you're a 15-year-old making an impact in first division games, I don't care where you are around the world. You're going to get some looks. And that's got to be encouraging for Davies, but encouraging for the Whitecaps and their academy as well. They've really brought this kid along at the right pace, which is to say extremely quickly because he has the talent to get it done. But they will not be in the postseason this year. Seattle moving along. They are in fifth place. We will continue on this Western Conference, which I will tell you goes top to bottom. FC Dallas, Colorado Rapids, LA Galaxy, RSL, Seattle, and Sporting. Portland and San Jose still holding on there below the red line. Houston's alive as well, although they're down on 30 points, even below the Whitecaps, so they have two games in hand. They'll take on Colorado at the weekend, the only MLS game going on this weekend. That one's on Saturday. You can check it out. Colorado won again. They won at home. And Portland, well, they lost again on the road. They are still winless on the road. The Rapids also clinched their playoff spot thanks to a Sebastian Letoux goal. Think about this. They had 37 points in 2015, Kalen. 37. Bottom of the Western Conference. Their maximum this year is going to be 63. They've got four more games left. They still control their destiny for the Supporters' Shield as well. If they win out, they're going to be Supporters' Shield winners, which would be an absolutely incredible feat for them. Their remaining schedule: at Houston this weekend, against San Jose at home, at Portland, and then Houston to finish out the season.
It's a good lineup.
It is a pretty good lineup. And that's a Portland squad, however, that's going to be desperate. Right. They're going to be really, really desperate. Portland has Colorado, then they're at Vancouver. They basically need to win out here to have a chance. I mean, we have a real possibility that both Crew SC and the Timbers will fail to make the playoffs the year after facing off in MLS Cup. You've been to MLS Cup before, and I hesitate to always rub this in, but what's that next year like? When you get there, and even if, you know, I was going to say even if you win it, when you lose it, what's next? What's the next year like? What's that build up like? Do you feel extra pressure? Is it harder to perform that year after?
I think early on it's tough. Like preseason, you go back in, you're like, man, we've got a long ways to go. And that's what I thought happened to the Crew earlier this year, where they were like, the only game you're thinking about is the one that happened a month and a half ago. And you have a little bit of that hangover, but it seemed to last pretty long for,
yeah,
for the Crew. Until
they're
kind of like,
they're actually kind of turning it around.
Well, they've
now
woken up, but it's too
probably
late,
too late
probably,
yeah,
at this point. And they've dealt with a bunch of other things as well going on with the Kai trade and some of that drama. And but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to me to think. I filmed a video to start the season about Colorado Rapids. I was struggling to come up with what to say to be hopeful or look forward to. And, man, like, what a season it's been. Now I think I picked them to be MLS Cup finalists, at least to make the final and to probably to host it. And that's a pretty – I mean, not that my word matters more than
I. I, Kalen Carr, am now
saying.
I mean,
who would have thought that Kalen would have predicted?
Yeah.
But, their turnaround has been pretty incredible. The player that I really like watching for them is Marlon Hairston. He has definitely been balling. I mean, he's pretty different than a lot of guys in MLS because he can run in behind, but he's also comfortable with the ball at his feet. He just makes stuff happen. He's able to create problems for people. And he's also got a pretty refined – he gets his head up when he gets into the box, picks out passes, and he had a great assist against against the Timbers for the game winner.
And dance past a couple guys, sets up Sebastian Letoux, which has turned out to be a pretty good trade for the Rapids as well. I mean, going back to Hairston, this is one of those things that I think people sometimes fail to think about when it comes to player development MLS and player development post-Super Draft. It's very rarely that you see guys like a Keegan Rosenberry or a Jordan Morris, and he's not a draft guy, but you know what I mean, coming out of college into this league, come in and just tear it up. It doesn't happen that often. And then sometimes it does, in Austin Berry, for instance, and it's not sustainable. But there are a lot of guys in this league that come in and have two or three years where they're getting used to things, or a year where they're getting used to things, and then take off. And you see it over and over. Graham Zusi, Beasler, I think Jeff Cameron you can probably put into that place as well. Stuart Holden. There's all these players that take a little bit more time and take some exposure to the professional game to really get some traction. You look at Marlon Hairston, he played 22 games his rookie year, and he was pretty good. I remember they were a bad team and he was doing his thing, but they were trying to make him an outside back. You weren't sure what his future was going to be. And then last year, he basically spent the whole year on loan with the Charlotte Independents. He really didn't play in MLS. And then this year you come out and you drop 3 goals and 5 assists and you look like a difference maker for the team that's still controlling their fate in the Supporters' Shield. I mean, my message, I guess, is be patient with players and understand that just because they don't perform to expectations that first year doesn't mean it's a guy that you're just writing off for the rest of their MLS career. And this is pretty incredible stuff. I'd love to hear from our listeners. I would put him in the breakout player of the year category. I'd love to hear from you guys. Who are those players? Who are the players that you didn't know about at all at the beginning of the year? And maybe via ETR or wherever else, or just watching games, you said to yourself, oh, my God, there's a star in the making here. Or this guy's got something. I want to know who the people are that stand out to you this year. That's some interesting stuff, I think, at least on my end.
Hey, Jackson, Mississippi, too.
Yeah?
Represent.
Uh-huh.
Justin Mapp, another guy from there. It's got a little sleeper city of maybe soccer talent.
Sleeper
there.
Wingers out there? Justin Mapp, man. Poor Justin Mapp. Hasn't had the year he has wanted to. Hasn't really played at all
right.
This season. Let's see. Dallas, 1. LA, 0. This is kind of what you predict in Dallas, I think.
Hey, that's another guy who's probably in that list of people that you might not have heard a lot about before the season.
Walker Zimmerman. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, his tackles in the back, he's had a couple highlight reel level tackles. People are now talking about him for the full national team. The Galaxy on that one, I don't know what they're doing on the set pieces. It looked like they were zone, but also maybe a couple guys man-to-man.
I'm not sure. Walker Zimmerman got the game-winning goal in this game. As I said, a 1-0 win for FC Dallas, who now sit atop the Western Conference table and the Supporters' Shield table on 56 points from 32 matches. 16 wins is by far the most in MLS. That's two more than anyone else, although the Rapids could conceivably pass that if they win out. Yeah, he's wide open. I mean, he is, in talking through 24 under 24, which, you know, we got all those anonymous scouting reports, and I talked to a ton of guys, and I asked almost all of them about Walker Zimmerman because he was one of the ones assigned to me, and they were saying, I'm not sure there's a better attacking threat on set pieces in the league than Walker Zimmerman, and you let him have a free header on the six.
Bomb.
I know, you're a Cal guy. I know. But Walker's right there.
Right.
And you let him have a free header. I mean, at very least, you got to bump this guy, even if you're in zone, no?
Yeah. Well, they were stationary was the issue. The Galaxy, even if you're in the zone, you can't just stand. You have to be able to attack the ball. And I think probably the Galaxy, I would imagine it's not just a strict zone. I would imagine they have a couple guys man-to-man, and Walker just missed assignment because you can't let even zone. That's the dangerous part about it is if you just stand there, you give guys free runs. If you give Walker Zimmerman a couple strides to get up,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter – Omar Gonzalez, whoever is back there.
Yeah, his vertical he's going to dunk on.
Yeah, you're getting dunked on. And I think that's one thing that I like about this Dallas team is, yes, they can score goals in different ways on the break, but they're good on set pieces. I think they're one of the better teams in the league on set pieces. I think in the playoffs that bodes really well for them.
It certainly does. Matt Hedge is not a bad target for them either. And Urruti cleaning things up and Mauro delivering. It's pretty good. Their last two games here is they chase the Supporters' Shield. At home against Seattle, then at the LA Galaxy. So if they win this Supporters' Shield, I don't think you can stand back and say they did it against poor competition. They went through the West and they got it done. And they won the U.S. Open Cup in the process.
Right. So treble? What do you think?
Let's talk treble when the playoffs hit. I think they're going to get the double, though.
Okay.
I think this team will
so
get
do
the
I.
double. Yep. Over the course of that period of time. Let's finish it off here with San Jose 2, RSL 1, RSL. They just can't create easy chances at this point, and it feels like there's a little bit of a disconnect. You got Burrito, and you've got Plata, who want to be direct, who want to get the ball at the feet and want to run and probably fit better in that 4-3-3. I'm not sure that Javi Moe fits in the way they want to play right now, and certainly he does not plan up to his capabilities. But another loss for RSL. They're fading just a little bit. Still in fourth on 45 points, but with Seattle rolling, there is a chance that RSL could drop out of those home games, and that's not good. They're 4-10-2 on the road this season. So they're going to want to get that done over the course of the end of the season. The Western Conference right now, I'm looking around, I think probably just the Timbers in contention here. I guess San Jose could have a little bit of a miracle. They do have three games remaining left, but on form, you're thinking probably not, and they're playing Colorado. They're playing some big-time teams that need to get it done, supporting Kansas City as well, that are desperate. So if they do it, they'll do it against the teams they're competing against, but we'll have to see. I think probably just one spot up for grabs in the West right now. Let's turn out East, where there was probably a contender for the game of the year this weekend, and I think you were at it.
I was.
Correct? Saturday night, Red Bull Arena.
Saturday mm-hmm. night, yeah.
Philly Union coming to town.
Shout out to Warren Craval for the tickets.
Got those
And
ticks.
Also congratulations to him as well. He was called up to the Guyana national team.
Whoa, that's his first call.
International footballer now.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, how long's the flight? I'm assuming he took out of New York City?
Yeah, it's about five hours maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I'm brokering for a jersey. I want to know what a Guyana national team jersey looks like.
Yeah, first of all.
Yeah.
Who do they play? Do you know?
They play two games. I know the second of which. No, they play Jamaica.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Caribbean vibes, man.
Some MLSers there as well. Congratulations to Warren. He did start this match, a 3-2 win for the Red Bulls. Speaking of not marking people, Dax McCarty gets the game winner here in the 60-some minute by just running at the back post, but just running in a straight line.
Yeah, the Red Bulls, Jesse and Armas and Hamlet, have all these crazy wrinkles and trick plays, and this was just not one of them.
No.
They just fired in. You know what's funny? I was thinking about it after the game, and I was like, Dax McCarty is a matchup problem, actually, if you think about it, because you can't put a big guy on him because he's too mobile.
Right.
Like, if you were to put probably like a Richie Marquez or one of those guys, he's probably going to have trouble with his movement in the box because he's pretty quick. But then you put a little guy on him, and he's too good in the air.
I think CJ Sapong might have been on him.
Yeah, it looked like it.
And he got sucked in by the gravity that is Aurelien Cohen. Aurelien Cohen makes a run.
He is a vortex.
Yeah, directly at Andre Blake. And you can see Sapong thinking, this is the danger man. I have to go with him. He's making the hard run. And Dax McCarty just kind of hangs out.
Yeah.
And easy header, easy goal, game-winning goal.
Great header.
Yeah, really nice
goal
from
him. You see, one player does make a difference. And we talked about this before on ETR about Red Bulls losing leads, Red Bulls winning close games. This was a perfect example of that exact happening. You have your leader. You have your guy who's going to give you that spirit. Winning balls. He set up the first goal coming out of half, which to me was the killer.
Yeah, beautiful ball to Brother Phillips.
Right, and Yarrow goes down. I don't remember the other center back's name, but there was, a pace issue, especially with BWP coming in. And what a finish for my BWP, too.
I mean, he just took
that so clean.
By the way, I was going to bring that up to you. Like, I don't even think I've seen a ball hit that cleanly. I don't know when that ball was going to stop. Like it was like a rocket off his foot, and it's just so clean. I don't even know. It's like
off the bounce.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, Brother Ray Phillips. You look at what he's done over the years he's been here. It's pretty amazing. The other thing that stood out to me. Okay, so there was the goalkeeping play on both sides was incredible
right.
as well.
Chris
Pontius has the bicycle kick late, or the overhead kick.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Kind of a blind look from Luis Robles, and somehow he gets down
below. And then there were a couple saves that Blake had that I was looking around like, are you kidding me? These are ridiculous. I was in the Philly sort of family section, and nobody was fazed. they're just so used. I was sitting with Jim Curtin's younger brother, Jeff, who I played with in Chicago, and he watches all the games, of course, and he was just like, I see this all the time. They're almost desensitized, but it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, the two on Grella stand out. There's the one that kind of drops back to Grella inside the six. First time ball, smashes it.
Right.
Blake
didn't know
just
much
great,
about that.
Great positioning.
Yeah.
But the one that's really incredible is BWP to Grella at the top of the box. He's kind of unsighted. Grella curls it. The ball starts outside the post, and it's just going to sneak inside. You're like, up, goal. And all of a sudden, kind of Andre Blake's arm.
Go-go
just
kind of
like
man.
Flaps through the right spot and
unreal.
And keeps it out. I mean, he really is a joy to watch in that goal right now. But Philly, we've talked about it on this show. Things are not going the way they want them to go. They got three losses and two draws in their last five games. They're kind of dropping down the table at this point. And by kind of, I mean they're all the way down in sixth. We had basically pegged this team as one that was going to get a home game. And their form right now is keeping them from that. They need a couple wins in their last couple games. They need Montreal. They need D.C. to stumble a little bit. What's going on with Philly right now, and what can they do about it? Because luckily for them, they have two home games. Home against Orlando, who are out, and then home against the Red Bulls, which, I mean, I'm salivating about based on this game.
Yeah, I want to watch that one as well. I might go back out there for that. But they're having trouble getting goals, I think. You know, at times, they've had to lean on C.J., He puts a lot into it.
Yeah.
Holding the ball up, being an outlet at times, and fighting. He doesn't get a lot of calls either, I might add.
No, he doesn't.
But he was banging.
It's one of those things when you're a big guy, the referee looks at it and is like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like, if he wasn't such a just like strapping figure out there, you'd think you'd get more. But
yeah, I would imagine that happens to you sometimes in men's league.
I don't get fouls called against me at all. I'm on the Michael Parker School of Defending.
Oh, really?
You got to be around the ball to get the foul called on you. So,
okay, yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, but getting Chris Pontius back on, I thought was big. He seemed to be brimming with confidence. Just to try. I mean, he's an underrated athlete. The way he got up on that header.
Yeah.
And then the overhead kick. That obviously shows you he's confident. And they need people to step up and score goals in the playoffs if they're going to have a chance of advancing.
Yep.
So getting him on track late in the season, I think, was huge.
Fabian Herbers with a goal in this game. A little deflected job, but a nice shot from him. And then Fabinho. Look, at left back, he's a guy that doesn't get a ton of shine, but I think he's arguably the best left back in the league. On the other side of the field, Keegan Rosenberry has he's gone 60-0, I should say, right into the rookie wall. So he's been really, really good this season, but you can see him struggling a little bit right now, and we'll have to see if he can pick that up over the last couple games. He has a break here, maybe get his legs back under him, get his confidence back. Even-keeled kid, I don't think it'll affect him, but certainly sometimes that'll happen with rookies. You mentioned BWP getting that goal. Well, he's first in the Golden Boot right now, 21 goals, none of which are PKs. Can I emphasize that? No PKs, 21 goals. Really, really incredible. Tied with him from up in the Bronx, David Villa, doing what David Villa does, which is just score, score, score. He's also got 21 goals. The reason being, he got two goals and a 2-0 win against Houston in Viernes de Fútbol. So these two teams, the New Yorks, each side of New York, 32 games played, both on 51 points, both 14 wins, 9 losses, 9 draws.
And you got Viernes de Fútbol so well, man.
I stumbled right through.
Is we be doing Rosetta Stone?
I know.
What's
the difference being is the goal differential. 14 for the Red Bulls, just 4 for New York City FC. So the Red Bulls will have that tiebreaker. They will have that tiebreaker. It goes wins, goal differential, goals, 4. We'll see who finishes atop at this point. But New York City FC definitely rolling along.
Wait, who do you think gets the Golden Boot?
Oh, man. I want to say BWP, but I look at David Villa and I look at their last two games at DC United, which isn't easy, and then versus Columbus, also not easy. They're starting to roll along. For some reason, I just feel David Villa.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that would be fair. That's just what I think. You think you going BWP? You going to split this?
I'm not going to answer. Okay. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Okay, good
on
call.
The record.
Also fading. Speaking of Philly, another team that are fading. Toronto FC. They had this home. This home stretch has not worked out. Red Bulls, 3-3, a draw. Philadelphia, 1-1, a draw. Orlando, 0-0, a draw. And then they lose 2-1 to DC United at home. Lamar Nagel with 2 goals in this one. Now has 9 goals on the year. A classic Ben Olsen intra-MLS trade who then goes off and has a career year. This is a big game for DC. They're climbing the table. We're talking about teams getting hot, and Seattle's the A1 example of that right now. DC were in 8th place 9 days ago. They finished the weekend a point out of 4th. 2 months from the start of June to the start of August, they had a win and 8 goals in 9 games. And since then, they're 5-1-4. That's just 1 loss in 10, 26 goals in 10 games since then. And, if Doyle was here, he would just start yapping on about Patty Mullins.
Oh my
God. we can just assume that.
Yes.
But this has been an incredible turnaround for DC United. And it was going from a season that, like I said, was looking kind of dead duck in the water, unexciting, to, hey, this team has a chance to make actual noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I really like this team. I've always liked DC. I don't know why. It's just something about them just speaks to me. They're just not.
Ben, he hasn't retired yet.
What do you mean?
You haven't.
Oh.
Just saying, I don't know if you're, like, campaigning out here.
Yeah. I can't even barely get through these men's league games anymore, man. But, I just really like the way this team, nobody's talking about them. They prefer it that way. Lamar Nagel, you know, that's the reason why, is because they've got Lamar Nagel, Patrick Nyarko, Patty Mullins, these guys that are not really big name stars. There's no David Villa, there's no Bradley Wright Phillips, there's no Drogba, there's no Giovinco.
Giving guys a chance.
Yes.
Giving guys a second chance, a chance to get, you know,
but those guys can ball. Like,
yeah,
Lamar Nagel can really ball. He's technical, he's got speed, he's a really smart player. Patty Nyarko is always, when he's healthy, I mean, he's one of the best wingers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he's creative. I just really like their team. I like the way they're put together.
Yeah, they got some opportunities through the rest of this year. But a big win for them at BMO Field. Toronto FC trying to figure out what's going on with them. They're at Montreal and then against Chicago. So trying to get back up into those spots where they don't have to go to the knockout round. But it seems pretty clear at this point that they will at least host a home game in the postseason. They did clinch their spot as well. Speaking of Montreal, 1-0 winners in Orlando. Orlando City officially out of the playoff race. Dominic Odura with a goal in this one on the break. Some poor defending from Orlando City. You can say that over and over and over again this season. Has not been good enough on the defensive side of the ball. Didier Drogba did not start this game. He did not play in this game. We've talked a lot about that. Mauro Biello nope, not going to play, but it was on turf, it was hot, it's understandable. I expect that he'll probably be back in the lineup against Toronto FC.
Okay, so I read this thing from Matt talking about how he needs to come off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there is no way that Mauro Biello cannot start Drogba in a one-off playoff game. If that's what it is. There's just no way. Just think about that. How is that going to play out?
Yeah, I can't imagine that. There's a big difference between saying this is better for our team and it being a knockout round game where the stakes are the highest. I mean,
you want to go into that huddle. I'm sorry. As a player, you want to go into that huddle with Drogba right next to you as a leader. I don't know what the record is or the record isn't. One-off game in the playoffs, you want your captain, your leader, that guy who's been in Champions League,
right.
Premier
World
League.
Cup.
Yeah. And did it for you last year, too, in the playoffs. He needs to turn it up, for sure. He needs to turn it on. And I actually think Dama Duro might be the key for them. Because him, I think the knock on Drogba is that he's not defending and he's not able to put in the work. Dama Duro is a force. You know, he makes you defend from having to. His defensive work often is by chasing balls into the corner or going for headers, being scrappy.
Or just the threat of, I can't go forward because if I do, this guy's going to run away from me.
Exactly.
Which he often does, and he did in this game. A nice goal from him. He now is 6-6 on the year. Dama Duro does some production over the last week that
hadn't
been there.
By the way, I like just disagreeing with Matt sometimes, and it's never around him.
I'm actually with him. I'm actually with you on this. Like, in that one-off game, if you're in a knockout round game and you're Montreal, you play Didier Drogba. I'm sorry, you just do.
Yeah, but I always steal stuff from Matt because I think he's on top of it. But I definitely on this.
I wish he was here to answer to that. On the other side, Orlando. DP production is probably the difference between a playoff spot and no playoff spot for them. Kaká, 8 goals and 8 assists in 24 games this year. That's probably not enough for Kaká. Honestly, the amount of money that they're paying him. Carlos Rivas is a good player. We haven't seen enough of him. Brian Rochez has been MIA. So that's something that Jason Kreis is going to have to solve going into 2017. Let's finish it up here. New England with a 3-1 win against Sporting Kansas City, who are fading a little bit. The notes from this game you should pay attention to and hope that you see more of from New England. Swagadelo basically played the 10 in this game, and they tore Kansas City up. The Revs did. Absolutely tore them up. Kellen Rowe also signed an extension last week. That's a sign for the future for the Revs. Meanwhile, no Beasler for Sporting KC in the three-man back line of sorts. It's a little bit – I'm not sure what they're doing in Kansas City right now. They're fading at the wrong time. And then Columbus, 3-0 winners against Chicago. Go watch that Harrison Offal strike. I mean, Tim Wakefield would be proud of this knuckleball. This was incredible.
I loved his reaction,
all over the place. Yeah.
He just hit it and just stood there like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, oh, wait, I got to freak out.
Yeah, he's a very, very good player, Harrison Offal. That's all we have on MLS. A lot to absorb after a crazy weekend. You've got about a week to do it. Then there's a game during the weekend, and then we're back at it next week. Let us know what you think. At Extra Time Radio, extratime at MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the U.S. roster and Bob Bradley.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hi, this is Josie Altador from the U.S. national team, and you're listening to MLS Extra Time Radio.
Look how the people gather around when you finally came up. Boy, you came up, put it down for them. You made the city so proud of you. Boy, you came up. Boy, you came up, put it down for anybody who ever doubted you. They gotta pay up.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe, Kalen Carr. Just the two of us, just doing what we do here in the studio. Well, I say the studio. It's just because we had the Anderson .Paak behind us, and I wanted to pretend like I was in the studio. But
in
this
the
is
studio.
The Broom Closet here on SiriusXM FC, Channel 85, and MLSsoccer.com. That is where we are. Big news here. And if you're listening to those lyrics, somebody came up in U.S. soccer circles on this Monday, or Tuesday if you're listening to Sirius. It would still be on Monday. But Bob Bradley, as I mentioned in the intro, a huge move for him, becoming the head coach at Swansea City in the English Premier League. Swansea City not having the best season. They canned their manager here because they started 1-1-5. They're down there in 7th place. Still a long, long season to go.
17th place.
What did I say?
I think you said seventh.
Oh, well, that would be pretty good for Swansea.
That would be good.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. It is not seventh. It is 17th. Chelsea in seventh place, as it just so happens. This is a big opportunity for Bob, and he's said many, many times over the years and on this show as well that he just wants the challenge. He wants the most difficult challenge he can find at any given moment, and he's done that. He's gone to Egypt during the Arab Spring during a time in which politically it was very difficult. There wasn't a domestic league to even draw upon for his players to play in. He lost one game. They did not make it to the World Cup because of it, and he left. He went to Stabæk. He took a club that was not expected to stay in the Norwegian First Division. He went to the Europa League and mounted a title challenge. And he went to France, and he almost got promoted from League Two in his first half season there. And now he's at Swansea. Before we get to the fan reaction.
Were you surprised by this hire? Or were you that he would get his opportunity at this time?
No, not necessarily. The ownership in France was American. The ownership here at Swansea City is also American, a new consortium of American owners, including one of the owners of DC United. So I wasn't that surprised, because that seems like the connection that would need to be made. I mean, really, most jobs, manager, whatever, soccer, accounting, there's an element of networking that goes into it. You want to work with your friends. You hire your friends. You hire the people you know. And Bob Bradley may not have fit into those circles all the time in international soccer. Well, he does in this case, and his networking was good. And we heard all about his meeting with Swansea City at the airport. We heard more about it today. The New York Times reporting that he was by far the most impressive candidate, Ryan Giggs being one of the other candidates, by the way. He was able to, in a meeting with them off the cup, describe exactly how he would play Arsenal, exactly how he would match up with Arsenal, what the strengths and weaknesses of his players were. And if you're familiar with Bob Bradley, that shouldn't surprise you. He is one of the most prepared soccer nerds, and I'm just going to call him a soccer nerd because this guy, we'd call him and he'd be like, oh, no worries. I'm just watching soccer at his house on his time off all the time. I mean, truly is an impressive mind. I think it's not necessarily that he's earned it, but it's his time to get his shot, and I hope he succeeds. He's got a lot of potential there. They've got a pretty good squad. They did reasonably well the last couple seasons in the Premier League, but it's historic. It really is. You look at what he's been able to accomplish. This is history for American soccer.
I think it's great. I think if you look at the development of a soccer nation, or a growing soccer nation, right? Mm-hmm. Some of that comes down to player development, MLS doing better. Then for me,
USL, NASL,
of course,
NCAA.
Having players go abroad and go play for the Premier League, do well, Jeff Cameron starting over there. That's a good step forward for us.
Bring what they learn to the national team and perhaps later on back to the U.S. with whatever other role they occupy. Steve Cherundolo, a similar sort of story.
Right. Ernie Stewart going up over there, getting the experience of running a club in Holland and then coming back and bringing that to MLS. And coaches, that's a part of it too. Like, I like that it opens the possibility for MLS coaches to be ambitious, to not just be content to have your job in your market, but to be players in the international market as well. Why not?
Why not? Why not Oscar Pereja? Why not him to, say a Liga MX team if things go well? You never know. I mean, this does open up doors. It will be a challenge. The fans in Swansea, not necessarily because of Bob, but because of the history of their club and some of the decisions that have been made by owners in the past, are a little bit soured right now because there is a supporters trust at Swansea. They own, I think, 21% of the club. They were told that they would be consulted on major decisions. This, I think we can all agree, is a major decision. They report that they were not consulted on this one. They were supportive of the manager as he leaves. They wish him all the best, they say, but they are frustrated they weren't involved in the appointment. There are a lot of doubters out there. Gary Lineker tweeting that this is a huge gamble by Swansea City. I mean, for obvious reasons, the amount of money at stake in the English Premier League when it comes to promotion and relegation and what it means to be in the top division and what it means to be in the championship and the payments that come along with that, that's a really, really big deal. But I do think there is an element of a gamble here, because Bob Bradley hasn't coached in this situation before. But anybody that out there thinks that he's going to not be prepared or intimidated by the pressure that he would inevitably face, I can't fathom that. I mean, this is a guy who walked through the streets of Cairo as the city and the country was in complete political and cultural upheaval. I mean, this to him is a job, and he's the sort of guy.
Yeah,
this is to
life.
Him is a job, and he's the sort of guy that will bury his head in the sand that is the foundation of your club and make sure everything is right and make sure every detail is right. And we heard from some players today who have, of course, been coached by him from the U.S. national team, Jozy Altidore, Sasha Kljestan, saying, look, those players are going to enjoy their time under Bob. He will be prepared. He will make every training session enjoyable as well as productive, and he will treat you the right way. He's a guy that throughout his stops, and I remember talking to him specifically about his time at Norway and him talking about how important it is to even have relationships with the person opening up the door for the players as they go out on the pitch, the person who cleans the boots, the person in the kitchen who helps make the meals. I mean, this is a guy who will pay attention to every single piece of the puzzle. Will that guarantee him success? It won't. Right. So that's part.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the process will be right, I think.
I agree. I don't know Bob, but it's funny because when you go, he has such a long tree of people who have played for him and under him and coached for him. And, you know, even just being around Dave Sarokin or being coached Jesse Marsh, Dennis Hamlett, a lot of the words they use are from Bob, you know, and they're taught from him. And a lot of it is being honest, being disciplined, doing the little things right. I think that stuff carries over wherever you go. And so much respect just from the soccer community for it. So, of course, I know we're all going to be behind him to do well.
Yep, a long MLS career for Bob Bradley. Now on to the English Premier League. Congratulations to him, his son, getting a call up, Michael Bradley, as we expected, to the U.S. national team. Two friendlies in this international break. They'll start on Friday in Havana, Cuba. The first time they've played a friendly in Cuba since 1947. That is, additionally, the only time Cuba, I believe, has beat the U.S. Very first matchup, 1947.
It was an off day.
Was an off day. Let's see. Then they'll take on New Zealand at RFK Stadium on Tuesday. So two games you would expect the U.S. to win. Really, it's all about November 11th, Kalen. That is the focus. That is Mexico in Columbus. Dos Acero, the U.S., hope to have a repeat of that performance. Let's take a real quick look at the roster here. Three goalkeepers, and this is where the big surprise was. Tim Howard, Brad Guzan. No, they're not there. Those two are not there. They are staying with the Rapids and Middlesbrough, respectively. David Bingham of the Quakes, Ethan Horvath of Molde FC, or FK, I should say, and William Yarbrough of Club Lyon are in for this one. Jurgen Klinsmann basically saying, this is a competition for these guys. We've been looking for that number three goalkeeper spot. We've talked a lot about it. There's a possibility we see Bill Hamid when they head to the nation's capital, but he will not be with this team right now. David Bingham is a Cal guy, so I'm expecting you to just heap praise on him.
Oh, man, you could not be more right.
Yes.
Because I want to see him start this game so bad. I even when you watch him play against Salt Lake this week, you know, I mean, some of the saves that he makes are next level. They're really, he's gotten rid of a lot of some of the mistakes that you've seen maybe in years past where he, you know, got caught fishing a little bit. Solid. Good with his feet, can play out of the back.
I think he also, in the box, he controls his area pretty well. And sometimes that takes some time for young goalkeepers to figure out the timing of it, the right moments to come out, and the strength you need to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Hanley's their goalkeeper coach, a guy I know very well, of course. Dom Kinnear. Dom Kinnear, you know, they speak super highly of him as far as his talent. They've worked with some pretty darn good goalkeepers throughout the years. So I'd love to see him get a chance. I really would.
Yeah, I think it's probably the right time for this. Of course, you won't see that in November, but at this point, you're pretty sure those two are your ones and twos. Who's going to take that three spot? Really important stuff for them. You'll get at the defensive side of the ball. Steve Birnbaum, DC United. John Brooks is back in this team. Jeff Cameron, you mentioned earlier. Timmy Chandler, Omar Gonzalez, Fabian Johnson, and DeAndre Yedlin. No Matt Beasler in this team. No Michael Orozco in this team. But you look at these spots across the back line, and the U.S. are deep, and they are talented. Those four center backs, Jeff Cameron, John Brooks, Omar, and Steve Birnbaum, all at the top of their game right now. I think that's really, really positive for the U.S. Fabian Johnson and DeAndre Yedlin, you'd expect to be your starting outside backs. Johnson on the left, DeAndre Yedlin on the right, and then Timmy Chandler for depth. So you look at that back line, to me, it looks really good. I have no complaints there from Jurgen. In the midfield, Paul Areola, He's not really playing for Club Tijuana, but he performed reasonably well for the U.S. in these last qualifiers, so that one's okay. Alejandro Bedoya was in the team, but he had a little bit of a rib issue that he suffered in that New York Red Bulls game, so he was a late scratch for this Cuba game. Michael Bradley is here. Lyndon Gooch is here as well. You may know him from the Premier League, a young midfielder playing for Sunderland right now. He started the season on the field. Well, then he got benched, then he fell off the bench. Now he's kind of back with some substitute appearances, but the perfect time to take a look at a young talent. Perry Kitchen is back. He is now the captain of Hearts, which is pretty impressive. That doesn't normally happen for Americans overseas, as well as Danny Williams, who I think both of those two are competing for the Kyle Beckerman role, or at least an opportunity to fill that role. Beckerman not in this team. Sasha Kljestan is, however, as is Christian Pulisic, of course. I mean, this kid is going to be the story that everyone talks about through that game against Mexico, and for good reason. He changes this team, Kalen. We've talked a lot about how Fabian Johnson should be in the midfield. Well, that's kind of changed now because you can play Christian on the left, Johnson behind him, and all of a sudden that's a world-class attacking flank, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Christian can play either side as well. He's playing on the right against that, in that Madrid game. Did you guys talk about the Real Madrid game?
We did. Yeah, okay. we ad nauseum. We just,
all right, I don't want to wax poetic on that one.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty incredible stuff. Man. I will say, though, at the weekend, he only lasted 45 minutes.
Yeah, he got
so
yanked. Yeah,
he did. It wasn't his most effective performance, but he's still a teenager, still a very, very young kid. Encouraging to see, though. On the forward line, Jozy Altidore, Toronto FC. Julian Green, who was kind of a late add here from Bayern Munich. Jordan Morris, of course. Bobby Wood, figured that. Chris Wondolowski sticks around. Doyle said in his column, which everybody should go read, I mean, anytime a roster comes out, I think Doyle is definitely a must-read for U.S. fans. He says he has no problem with Wando being here. I agree. What do you think?
Yeah, why not? Scoring goals? What do you want?
Yeah, that's a good point. But fans are going to say, I mean, look, go to the future. Juan Agudelo, yada, yada, yada.
Is Juan Agudelo the future?
I don't know. He could be. He might be.
Juan Agudelo probably has a pretty good case to be called up right now. I mean, based on his form, he's been flying for sure. But
yeah.
I think it's you know, you're looking at bringing a guy off the bench. Part of this is also, yeah, I think what Matt was talking about is just having a guy that people like. People like to have him around. He's great in training. He pushes the group. He's a leader. He's, you know, he does it for his club. He's not afraid. He's not shy of the moment.
No, definitely not.
And he scores goals. So, and consistently gets in the box, creates danger. You know, I don't see. I know people maybe want to sort of move on to the new shiny new toy, but
right.
Hey, we've got Christian Pulisic. Let's not get greedy right now, guys. You know, like. Pump the brakes a little
hold
bit.
Hold your horses. Hold your horses. Yeah. A big game for the U.S. just to see what's up. And also a historic game in Cuba, in Havana. A really special thing. Our own Ariel Castillo will be down there reporting. She is Cuban, so you might want to tune in for that one. You can follow her on Twitter and also at MLSsoccer.com.
Man, I almost flew down there just to go.
Just on a whim?
I wanted to go. Like, I wanted to see the country before it changes too much and also to experience the game. It didn't quite work out with timing otherwise.
We're glad you're here, though.
Yeah.
We're glad you're here.
Man,
we're very glad.
Me too.
4 p.m. Eastern on Friday. That one's on ESPN. All the coverage you need right here at MLSsoccer.com. We will talk about that one in depth on Thursday's show. With that, though, let's get to the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hi, this is Bob Gansler, the coach of the 1990 World Cup team, and you're listening here on Extra Time TV. Just the two of
us. Back now on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe, Kalen Carr. Just the two of us. Yeah, you knew that was coming, huh?
Hey, man, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Oh, yeah?
How come we can only hang out in group settings, man? We can't just, like, you and I ever just, you know, maybe go to Bryant Park for lunch, just chit-chat, put the phones down.
Just give me a call, you know, shoot me a text.
Okay.
I'll.
I don't know. Oh, you're trying to.
I'm just messing with you.
All right.
Hey,
I can take a hint, man.
Busy times here. Extra Time Radio, got to keep the broom closet in check. Just got all these things to do. But it is it's not your birthday here on Monday if you're listening, but if you're on SiriusXM Channel 85, that'd be Tuesday.
My birthday only
Happy birthday
in Sirius Radio. But
that's
thank you.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Appreciate it, man.
Do you have big plans? Do you feel any older yet? Do you?
I don't know. I'm just trying not to get injured in men's league this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Heath Pierce is going to do the running for me.
That's what we always hope for from Heath. Let's jump into the mailbag here. Hudson on Twitter, since July, guys, Kyle Larin has played 772 minutes against teams above the red line with one goal. Compare that with 5 goals and 602 minutes for his current playoff teams for fill in the blank. Who is that?
It appears to be Jordan Morris.
Man, I forgot I gave you those notes again.
Yeah.
Boy, I am just so used to trying to spring things on Kalen Carr.
So let me take this a step further. That would mean that Jordan Morris is better than Kyle Larin, right?
I don't know if you believe that, because you're a big Kyle Larin guy.
Yeah, no, I do not believe that.
Yeah, 24-24 says Kyle Larin is number one. But that is pretty impressive production from J-Mo Smooth over the last course of the year here. Good
Jordan
stuff from
has
him.
Been huge. Yes.
Very, very good stuff from him. Let's go to Caleb Mays. You guys speculated about the Atlanta head coaching position a few episodes ago. Now it's official. Indeed it is. Tata Martino is the new guy. Caleb says his resume and pedigree are pretty closely coinciding with, Lionel Messi, both Argentine, together at Barcelona, together with Argentina. Let's say in, 5 years, Messi comes over as a DP for Atlanta United. It sounds very plausible to me. Is that foolishness? Could Messi come to MLS because of Tata?
No.
No?
Messi's not going anywhere besides where Messi wants to go.
That's a good point. Look, 5 years is a long time. That would be my point. Lots of things can happen in 5 years. Tata Martino could move on. Tata Martino could still be there. Lionel Messi could, I'm knocking furiously on wood here because everybody who loves the game doesn't want this to happen. He could have a career-ending injury. You just never know what will happen. But we did moot it. It would be interesting. I would love to see Messi in MLS.
For sure.
First things first, though, I'm really excited to see Tata in MLS and see what he does. This offseason is going to be a fun one for Atlanta United FC. We'll see what they can do with all that. Nathan Jacobs from Wheaton finishes it off. He says, hey, guys, in Chicago, we care about others and don't just live in our own bubbles. Therefore, when pregnant folks get on the train, we get up and we give them their seat. Nathan, thank you for rubbing that in, but I'm still trying. I'm still trying to figure out what I would do in that situation. So, hey, happy birthday to you, Kalen.
Thank you.
Yeah, no
doubt. Appreciate it, man. We're going out, the two of us, right?
Just the two of us. With that, we'll see you on Thursday.